Session number 16729 to William Ridley, reel 13.
Mr. Ridley, reel 13. Do you recall the journey to Cyprus, Mr. Ridley?
Yes. I'm not sure where we sailed from, but I think it was from Haifa. I'm not too certain on that, because now it's more or less just a blur light. But I do know we got on a destroyer, and I've never been on the destroyer before, and it was like a speedboat. It was going so fast, and it was my introduction to the Navy cocoa, and it was just like chocolate melted down into a liquor, and it was so thick that your spoon could stand up in it. It was brilliant, and that's about the only thing that I can remember about the trip. All I know, it was a terrific experience. It was just like being in a speedboat. You was going that fast, and the wonderful cup of chocolate that we had. I think they call it chai, I think, in the Navy, or chai. But we got there, and I think we landed at Famagusta. I think it was. I think it was Famagusta. But what I don't know was that we had a job getting off, because the destroyer was about 30 feet above the dock, and all we had was a plank to walk down the plank with little bits of wood and to stop you from slipping. But it was very narrow and it was very high, and I was very frightened. With all your gear that you were carrying down. And we went from there. We were transported to a little village in Cyprus, and billeted in tents in an olive grove there. The name of the village at the present I cannot lay my tongue to, but it might come to us. The object of it was that we were to assist in building an aerodrome on Cyprus, and this was our 40 for the time we were there, and we had one or two days off there when we could go down to Nicosia and into the town there. There wasn't much to do, but there was cabarets and things like that. And all in all, it was quite a pleasant stay. But we were working, we were on duty most of the time. So much so that we did get a 3-day leave to go to a rest camp on the coast, which was just lazing around in the sun and getting good grub and trying to cure us were sores that we had. The desert sores that we had, what we called desert sores, it was a case of if you fell down or you scraped your knee or anything like that, it would turn septic more or less straight away. And the treatment was that they used to put this blue unction or something on it, and it was horrible purple stuff. And to me, it never done any good. and I actually stopped getting it done. And we couldn't get rid of these scabs that was on my knees or elbows, where we fell, like, you know. And I had a bit of a time with mine. I got it playing football, and I was playing, I scraped my knee, and I had a terrible job getting rid of it. So I stopped using the blue unction, or whatever they called it, and I just let it ease the pus out by pressing the scab on it and getting rid of the pus that way. And eventually it did. The scab fell away, and it healed more or less itself.
What were the Cypriots like?
Cypriots was, as soon as we came into the Panalakatamia, that's what they call the place, Panalakatamia. And they kept to themselves. They didn't had a great deal of contact with them. But as soon as we entered anywhere near these little villages, you'd just think they would press the button and out come a little border outside their door, and it had egg and cheeps. And there was practically every other house used to advertise egg and cheeps. And the one incident which we had a mad set of young officers who they were kicking their heels, and they were young ex-college boys, and there was three of them in particular that was mentioned, no names, but the three of them in particular that was always getting into trouble with the colonel. One was for fighting each other in the lines, which wasn't conducive to good discipline, and fighting. There was no animosity, but there was a scrap now and again. One beautiful story was that they used to go down to Nicosia and sample the wine down there, and this particular time, Officer A, didn't have his service cap, so that was fit to use. So he borrowed his service cap off Officer B, and they went down to Nicosia, the group, minus Officer B, and they went down to Nicosia, and they had a skin full, and they couldn't get a taxi, so they couldn't get a bus, so they got a gharry. And the Nicosia, I think was about 5 or 6 miles away from Lakatamia. And the gharry man brought them right away back to Panalakatamia. And they got out the gharry, and they walked into the camp, which was not surrounded by barbed wire or railings or anything. That was just like you walk straight into off the road. And there was only a walking patrol for guards guarding the place, like, and guard. And they didn't pay the gharry man, so the old gharry man came into the camp, and they ordered the sentry to dislodge this old gharry man, you see. So they chased the old gharry man away. Nevertheless, the following day, the gharry man and his little gharry drove up to the battalion headquarters, boldly walked past the sentry on the thing, and this old gharry man plonked a peaked cap on the desk of the colonel and said, "This man did not pay for the gharry last night." So unfortunately, the Officer A, who was wearing it, had Officer B cap, who wasn't involved whatsoever. So Officer B was brought before the colonel, and somebody dressed down for not paying the galley. But anyway, they did get it sorted out. But it was quite a hilarious thing that an old Greek just walked past all the sentries and straight into the colonel's office. He could have shot him for all, you know, for all that happened.
What's a galley?
Galley's like a four-wheeled carriage drawn by an old mule or an old donkey, like, you know, and open top, a bit like a landau, you know, but, you know, a bit more rougher than that, you know. Like, but it was, we had little incidents like that, but nothing really outstanding about it. The only thing that we were digging trenches for the Cypriots that used to come to help in the making of the runways and that. And they used to come trailing up on donkeys with their legs, their feet touching the ground. And when they wanted to get off, they just stood up on the thing and the donkey went on, like, you know, and they were left standing, sort of thing. And we used to get frequent air raids, and once the air raid could be in Nicosia, but you could hear the air raid siren going, and that was it. You never saw them no more. They just disappeared into the countryside. Never saw them no more till the next morning. They came toddling in with the donkeys and what again. But as soon as them sirens went, and we had dug trenches round the outside of the perimeter, the thing, for to accommodate these blokes when there was an air raid on, like, you know. But oh no, they didn't want to know, and they were away, like, you know. And both the Greeks and the Turks. I think mostly there were Greeks in our area, like, you know. But,
was there signs that Greeks and Turks weren't getting on even?
No, and we didn't notice any. Well, the say now in the place, that they say it's now a wonderful holiday place now, like, you know. But when we were there, it was really, really, it was like going back to the days when the knights and that used to be on, like, you know. And they built some of the buildings in Famagusta and them places, it's still like forts and that, like, you know. And
were you able to supplement your rations with the local produce?
Well, usually, as I say, again, cheeps, you know, stafilis, which was grapes. You could get as many grapes. You could get your topi full of grapes for a couple of piastas or a piasta, you know. And the fruit was bags of fruit and that sort of thing. We didn't want for, you know, there was no hardships. And in fact, it was like in. It was one of the best times we had when we were away, like, you know, because the climate was fantastic, like, you know. And the only thing is you have to keep yourself right. As I say, if you've got to scratch anything like that, it festered, you know. It was strange then, but I don't know how it happened, like, I think we were there. We weren't there a great length of time. I think we were only there about a couple of months or something like that. I'm not too sure exactly.
You mentioned that you went into the Nicosia for a break later.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the drinking facilities there. What other leisure activities were there?
Well, actually, I never thought, I wasn't a great one for to go drinking. I didn't really drink in them days. And it was just more or less to get out to camp. And the other, my friend, my comrades that was with us, they also, they weren't, well, three out of six of us didn't drink at all. And there wasn't a great deal to do down there, but you could wander around and this, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, I didn't have any problems. The only problems there was a feud between the Hussar, some Hussar regiment that was there. They used to wear, they were either armoured cars or tanks. I think they were armoured cars, but they used to wear a red fore and aft Glengarry And at least the weather, because you always took your rifle with you, always had your your arms was always with you and fastened to you, you know. And it used to come in useful. I remember once on the way to Nicosia, we just pulling into Nicky when the sirens went. And of course the old Greek that was driving the bus just slammed the brakes on. And out, and he was going to get out, and the rifle was stuck in the back of his neck. And you get out here, and you've got a bullet in your head. The rifle was empty, but he wasn't in all that. But he still sat in his seat and drove us into Nicosia, like, you know. But get back to the other, there was always a friction between the Fleet Air Arm Lance, who was doing this aerodrome for the Fleet Air Arm, like, you know. And they were like a hussar regiment. And I remember there was a bit like a nightclub in the thing. It was a sort of nightclub where you could go in, and there was ladies in flimsy clothes doing the Egyptian dances and all this sort of thing. And one night in the Kit Kat, we came in, we'd sitting down, there was a drink that was like a lemonade liqueur, you know, and we were drinking that, and some of the lads was drinking beer and other things. But all of a sudden these hussar lads come in, about 20 or 30 of them. And they spread us out across the room, and just like the cowboys, and they had the revolvers on the holsters, which was the lower part of the leg, because when they were sitting in the armored cars or the tanks, the gun was at the hands when they were sitting down, and the strap extension used to come right down onto the bottom muscle of the leg. And they wandered across the thing, chucking the tables and the chairs to one side, you know, and there was a punch-up. But before the punch-up started, we were down the steps and away, which had nothing to do with it. But there was quite a punch-up there. And there was a vendetta between them. All the time we were there, like, you know.
So you touched upon sport. You said you played some football there.
Yeah, we played the actually, it amazes me now when I look at the Cyprus team. We played the Cyprus, alleged to be the team of the whole of the island. And our battalion played them, and they hadn't a clue. And they asked for a return, and so we just put a headquarter company out, and we still beat them. And actually, that's where I got me scrapes from. And we're playing in the goal for the company line. Also, they invited us to a sports meeting. And of course, the battalion was scattered all around the parts of the island, like, and I don't think a great deal of enthusiasm was there for to do any sports or anything. But as it happened, there was about I think there was three of us took up the challenge, and but it wasn't organised by the company or anything like that. They just put a notice on the board and seeing anybody wanted to take part in the sports meeting, the Cypriots were going to be there. And well, I was a good jumper, so I went in for the long jump, and my friend was Bob Redshaw was pretty fast on his pins. He used to call him Sweepy. So Sweepy was—he had bow legs, and he used to go on like twinkle toes. And he was pretty good, like. And We come to the jump and I jumped the whole lot of them. Unfortunately, I was jumping them by at least a yard and a half. But unfortunately, I didn't know anything about jumping. I was just jumping, like, you know. There was no technique or anything like that. I mean, when you watch it on the telly now, then I could see how to do it. But I always happened to fall backwards instead of, I didn't know, but yeah, nearest the line where your touch is where the measure is from. Well, I didn't know that. But anyway, I got beat, and it was in the last jump, and they were standing with their mouth open, wait, because I was out jumping them by good, so many 3-4 feet, you know, but I wasn't jumping properly, you know. Anyway, I got beat, and it ended up that Bob, my mate, and I went in for the 100-yard sprint. Well, Bob, as I say, was a pretty good runner. You know, I wasn't too bad, but Bob was the lad who could move. And when we got on, when we on the starting, the one block, so there were just holes in the ground, like, you know. And the set were off in Greek, and we didn't know when he said where to go, we didn't know he had said it and all the rest of the Greeks was away, and I turned to Bob, I says, I think we better go, like, you know. And of course we were the last two and that come in, because we didn't understand the language, you see. They done it in Greek, and every time after that, when we walked through the village, the kids used to come run behind us and go, yeah, and imitating we're running, and so we weren't very popular, like, you know. We were a bit embarrassed, like, you know, but that's part of the fun, like, you know.
What were you doing yourself on the island?
Mostly making maps of positions and things like that, and in some cases, there was one case that we went with the MO, who used to go around the artillery lads, and we used to help the MO and that sort of thing. But most of them was map reading and that sort of thing. We used to draw maps, you know. They would say you wanted a position, wanted a map of the area of such and such. And you used to go and make like a sketch map, you know, more or less near the scale as you possibly could, like, you know, but it was a bit rough and ready, like, you know. Other than that, there wasn't. We had quite a pleasant time in Cyprus.
Did you do any training?
Boy, you're always training, like, you're always doing parades and things like that. We had a sergeant major there who was a bit of a villain, like. And when you were on guard, it was a two-man guard, one guard following another guard within sight, like, you know. And you weren't allowed to wear any sling on your rifle. Your rifle had to be carried at the high port at all times, like, you know. And the sergeant major, regimental sergeant major, used to hide and try to ambush with, you know. And if he could, in this particular time, one of the lads was on, and he jumped this lad, and this lad done him with the butt end of the rifle, and he got away with it, like, you know. He laid him out, like. He didn't do it anymore.
What was his name?
Oh, God, I couldn't tell you. I've got a clue. No. No, the names has gone to me.
Did you complete the defence work and move to any other part of the island?
No, no. We weren't there a great length of time. I don't think we're much. I might be completely wrong here, but I don't think we're much there than a couple of months. I don't think it was.
Well, that would be from mid July kind of thing through to.
Well, that was October, November. We went from there straight into across and up into Iraq.
Did you get any warning about your move, or was it?
It was just didn't say, oh, we'll be moving in such and such a time. There was nothing like that, like. I mean, they just said, right, we're going, and that was it, you were on your way. I suppose there was a advance party sent, in some cases, which used to give with some warning that something was on the go, like, because 9 out of 10, there was either one or two of the intelligence section sent with the intelligence officer. And he would pick two lads out of the section, because there was only six who were like in the section, and then there was sometimes we used to get snipers with her, and they used to keep us, like, but most of the time we were more or less on our own, like, and. But we had a good time there. I told you about the officers, but they were always in. They were fighting in the lines, they didn't used to kill each other, sort of thing, like, But I mean, it wasn't any good for. Although it amused the lads, like,
Was this that they fell out with each other?
Well, there was a little bit of animosity, like, but they were canny blokes,
And you can't remember the names?
Oh, no, I wouldn't like to give names. I think they're all dead, actually. I know two of them is dead. One of them was killed on a motorbike when he got home. He was a transport. If you want his name, I can tell you his name.
But it's not
going to
do any harm.
No, well, there's Sparks. Lieutenant Sparks. And he was a canny bloke, he was a happy sort of bloke, like, and there was very little discipline. I mean, we'd been a small unit. I mean,
who was the intelligence officer?
Again, Stoker, Mr. Stoker. And there was another one called Mr. Braggs. He was the mortar platoon, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Sparks was the MT section. As I say, they were good lads, I mean, there was no. They used to have a bit scrap, like, and they were always in. Always in, the colonel was always reprimanding them, like, and confining them to. The camp, like, I think most of it was just high spirits, like, and then, as I say, we left there and ended up and went up to Iraq.
And was this the same similar kind of journey going back as you got coming?
I can't remember how we got back, to be quite honest. I just can't remember. I remember coming, but I can't remember going back.